Welcome to the Empowered Spirit Show. This is your host, Terry Ann Hyman. I'll explore the connection to the human spirit in a way that helps to navigate your life, including crisis. I am passionate about helping you to open up to your intuition and the metaphysical world of spirit to find your confidence and your own inner guidance. Take a pause, be inspired, learn ways to show up focused, centered, and more dynamic in your everyday life. Welcome back to the Empowered Spirit Show. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining me today. Are you looking for a magical place to shop and hold space? Check out Ritual and Shelter online or in Homewood, Alabama. Browse through their bookshelves covering topics such as energy healing, Reiki, chakras, auras, accessing the Akashic Records, shadow work, astrology, and earth-based healing. You can also find herbal teas and tinctures alongside crystals and oils to help establish a mindful mindset and fluid ambience before meditation, ritual work, and reflection. Ritual and Shelter is dedicated to providing one-on-one, in-depth conversation with customers to help them find the most efficient healing methods and resources that match the customer's unique interest and energy. They offer tarot sessions as well as Reiki, sound bowl, and crystal healing. Visit ritualshelter.com to book an appointment and bring peace back to the body, mind, and spirit. As this podcast goes to air, we're moving through the last of the eclipse portal and beginning to integrate the energies. The light of the moon is growing as we move into a powerful full moon in Scorpio next week. There has been a lot of shifting that will lead to growth. Many of my clients have reported feeling unsettled with a lot of emotional energy coming forward. It is a time to slow down, not rush through this. Notice what feels uncomfortable and find ways to shine light on the darkness. It can feel vulnerable and lonely, but remember, you are never alone. You can connect to Source, your guides, and higher self to find the answers. If you need help understanding how to connect to your higher self or even create a spiritual practice, my private mentoring Empowered Spirit program has a few openings left for spring. It's a program where I help you repattern and learn tools and techniques to break free and create a new path to empower your body, mind, emotions, and spirit. Schedule a spiritual makeover breakthrough call with me and let's see what the number one thing is that you can do to break these old patterns. The links will be in the show notes. On today's episode, we explore the idea of shadows and shadow work with my guest, Maja DeOost, and her latest book, Astrology of the Shadow Self, Working with Oppositions in Your Natal Chart. In this episode, we talk about astrology, shadows and what they are, natal charts, the divine feminine, the dark light mother, looking at both the shadow and the light and how important it is to get the complete picture to expand our consciousness. Before we begin, let's take a moment to pause and center and set an intention for this full moon coming in. So wherever you are, if you can, close your eyes. Taking a nice deep inhale, breathing up the body. And exhale, bringing the breath all the way down, slowing down. Inhale, expanding the breath up the body. And as you exhale, call all your energy into you, call it in. Inhale, expanding the breath up the body. Exhale, bringing the breath all the way back down. Calling in your spirit. Feel the spiritual body aligning right on top of the physical, the emotional, the mental bodies. Centering, aligning. Inhale, expanding the breath up the body. And now as you exhale, dropping deep into the heart, right into the deepest part of your heart, feel that connection, your spirit and the greater spirit, source, creator. Know that you are loved, guided, protected. Feeling all this energy coming in around you. As we take a moment and just notice. Notice where you are on this great wheel of life. Here where I am, we find ourselves in the season of spring. And as I teach from the medicine wheel in the direction of the east, where the sun rises each and every day, bringing inspiration, guidance, light. So let us call in to the east and the south, the west and the north, above you, below you, right into that deepest part of your heart, setting an intention for your path with this light of the moon growing. See it, hear it, feel it, know it, and allow the elevated emotions of how you want to feel to radiate out all around you, programming your aura, attracting this to you. Taking another deep inhale and exhale, bringing the breath all the way down, grounding with Mother Earth, opening the heart. Feel the light of the third eye. And as you're ready, blinking the eyes back open, coming back. So my guest today, Maja Diaz, is a professional astrologer with more than 20 years experience integrating her master's degree in transformational psychology into the interpretation of thousands of natal charts. A practicing witch and scholar of alchemy and occult lore, she is the author of Familiars in Witchcraft, The Occult I Ching, and A Witch's Bestiaria, co-author of The Secret Source and creator of a tarot deck, The White Witch Tarot. And her latest book, which she is here to talk with us about today, Astrology of the Shadow Self, Working with Oppositions in Your Natal Chart. She resides in Los Angeles, California. So let us welcome Maja to the show. Welcome, Maja.
Thank you so much for having me, Terry. A pleasure.
Yes. And as I was saying before I hit record, we were just chatting a little bit. I really have never looked at astrology in this manner, looking at the shadow self. So I'm so excited to talk to you. Thank you. Yes.
Oh, I know. I think my experience in the last few years, but certainly longer than that, is that I think people really need shadow work to help everyone deal with and transmute a lot of everything that's been going on that is, you know, challenging. And I think hopefully it'll serve as a tool to assist people through some challenging times.
And I do think this is a perfect conversation, especially moving through the eclipse. Right. Yes. And all the shadows that kind of came forward for many people. And so I do think this is a really great way to kind of look at some of this and understand it better.
Yeah. Yes. This eclipse was extremely intense in my experience with my clients. I don't know about you, but I had more people struggling through challenging events than possibly since, I mean, I would say some of the blood moon eclipses around 2012 or 2015. I feel like this was on that level of intensity for the sheer amount of people. I know you probably have clients too, but I kind of track the patterns, you know, and see the waves. And this was a doozy for a lot of folks. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I really do. So I love that we're talking about this. So before we jump right into your book and all, just like to ask the question, what led you to writing this book right now?
I wrote this book actually in 2018. Funny enough, even before the pandemic and everything broke, it was 2018. I was writing it because I felt like people didn't have enough tools to deal with negative experiences or shadow energy in each other. I deal with a lot of people when they're in crisis, like death. I have lots of moms I help through challenges. So I deal with people when they really kind of hit rock bottom or have no nothing to draw from. I've helped people through terrible issues like suicide and even lost some folks through that. So in my studies in transformational psychology, I feel like I want to be able to move through these energies, and it was making me sad that so many people get caught in the whirlpool and just are like abandoned or don't really have any tools. So my inspiration for this was to try to assist people in their dark nights of the soul to work with those energies and take their power back for themselves.
Yeah, and I have been through several dark night of the souls. Yeah, and sometimes they're not fun, but I know when you come
They
out of them,
aren't.
yeah, right? You do learn a lot. You really do learn a lot, but going through them can be very difficult. It really can. I think the dark night of souls really what led me to awaken spiritually. I mean, I was going through major transitions, a horrible divorce. I mean, this goes way back. Didn't even know the terms at the time, but I learned a lot. Yeah, and led me to this path.
It's strange, I think, that so many people will go through these things and we're already at this point in time, and then they'll have these dark nights of the soul, and they just feel like they have no one. And when you're in those places, when you try to go even to your best friends or loved ones or families, a lot of times they can't deal with that to help you. Not always, but sometimes people are really just adrift at sea without some anchors to assist them. So I really wanted to have it so that if you don't even have other people in your life you can speak to that will kind of get where you are, that you can at least have some things to come to.
Yeah, and I think it's so helpful. So let's just ask the question, what is shadow? What is shadow self? What does that mean?
Yes, that's a great question. And it's a big area. So I certainly am humble in my presentation. And maybe some people disagree with me, and that's okay. And I'm open to expanding it as well. But most people are familiar with the shadow self due to Carl Jung's work with his psychology. He got very into it. So any of you that have done a Jungian psychology session will be familiar with that, no doubt. But he was inspired in turn from most of his research with the alchemical materials that he studied intensely. He also did astrology and incorporated astrology heavily into psychology. But for all of the pagan and indigenous traditions, whether those are shamanic, whether those are, even detailed like some of the Egyptian pagan stuff or even later witchcraft, shadow work is something that you do. So if you practice witchcraft or are pagan, you know very well about shadow work because it's incorporated into most parts of that work. So the shadow self is really just all those parts of ourself that we're going to press down into the bottom of our awareness because we maybe don't like them, they don't fit our bias, we don't want to think about those things because they're uncomfortable. We want to, they kind of have like a repulsion energy to them. So we're going to try to, like, I always call it the pirate eye, right? Where we're going to just go one-sided into things. So, but in reality, there are positive and negative forces. This makes up our literal physical reality. So, in order to become whole and like well-rounded, if we don't incorporate all those parts of ourself that are below our consciousness level, we can't expand our consciousness up. So it goes, in turn to if we want to raise our consciousness and come into full awareness, we have to bring the bottom up as part of the work. But it's really uncomfortable.
It
Nobody
can
likes
be.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, my work with the dark side was through Debbie Ford's work. I had the opportunity to be in some of her workshops before she passed. I know her work is kept going by her family, but that's where I first learned about it. And the sanctuary, when I was going through our ordination, all we had to look at those parts of us in order to be able to do spiritual counseling. So it is a very important aspect of it. And that's a great understanding too, to look at it and see we do need both. We really do. Yeah. Now, you mentioned something in your book, and I had never really seen it before or thought about it, but it was the idea of the dark side being feminine, the divine feminine.
It's not a very popular opinion for sure, but
I said, what? I had to go back and read it. Yeah.
well, if you look at some of these ancient archetypes of the feminine, they are all dark, like Kali.
True, very
We
true.
see certainly divine, every divine mother. There's the Black Madonnas.
Yes.
There's they represent fecundity. I know I just got goosebumps when you gave a high five there. I don't know, maybe you have a connection there.
Well, we did a lot of work. I'm a Toltec student. We did a lot of work during the winter. And yeah, we did. And we actually did go to the Black Witch Mother. Yes, definitely.
Ooh, you do. You have a connection. I felt her. It's very powerful. It's the fertile. It's the cave. It's the womb. To go into darkness and stillness, we must have this to come into being and into matter form. It's material existence. If everything is light and goes forever in that divine masculine force of grow, grow, build, build, that kind of arrow of Shiva. You can't do that forever. You have to stop, right? On that seventh day, we rest. This is where the creation occurs. It comes from that void, from those black holes that create our galaxies, from that dark matter. So, unfortunately, in the West, we've developed an interpretation of that as bad or evil, right? Nobody, and death also falls in that category where nobody wants that, so we must shun it. And I do feel like part of that is what's responsible for women and mothers being so kind of like overrun by the patriarchy is because of that demonization of dark feminine energy. And so, but we all come from the mother's womb and we're gonna go back to death eventually. So I say, let's look at it and deal with it, you know?
I love that. I appreciate that because now I see where you're coming from and it makes total sense. Yeah, I
Yeah.
really do appreciate that. And I think it's important. And in the same token, bringing it right here to where we now are, it's like right now people are feeling tired. They don't quite know what to do. They're feeling a darkness, maybe even a little bit of a depressed, a lower vibration energy. And instead of rushing through it or pushing it away or not acknowledging it, this is where we're going to grow from. This is what we
That's
need
right.
to embrace. Yeah.
Yes, we have to sit with our discomfort, cradle it like an infant, right? We're taught if you feel bad, you have to just do whatever you can to feel good, get better, be successful, like go, 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 right? When if you sit with it, like you said, like we can expand and have our insights in these places. Obviously, there's danger to sit too long and become stagnant
Good
like a
point.
swamp, right? But it's important, our sadness and our grief. These things are really important for us to include in our processes, and they don't deserve to be demonized or chastised in the way they have been.
Yeah, I so agree with that. Yeah. So now we apply it to astrology. Let's talk about that. Because as I was showing you, like I have my original chart, but I didn't really understand the whole idea of creating that shadow part of it. How do you work with that? How does that fall in?
Well, shadow work with astrology isn't anything new. A lot of people work with the shadow with astrology for a long time. So I didn't make that part up. But most people will look at different planets to do that, like Mars or some of the malefics. But what I had the insight to do was to make an inverted chart, like a mirror, where you basically, for those of you that know about astrology, you can take your natal chart and you just find the oppositional point of every planet. And you can create that inverted or mirror chart of yourself, which really is like how we use relationships, right? Shadow has to get projected. You have a light source, you have a thing in the middle, and the shadow forms from getting projected through the other side. So if you look at the chart and all of the planets, which really does happen, by the way, this isn't metaphorical. Every planet casts a shadow in real life that you can measure. So the sun is hitting Jupiter. Jupiter is casting a shadow onto the Earth that is influencing us. We all enter the Earth's shadow. It's called night. Every night we enter the shadow of the Earth. We just experience these eclipses. When the moon passes in front of the sun, we experience the moon's shadow cast upon us. And this creates energies just like the light does.
Fascinating. Yeah. So if you're going to look and notice where your moon is or where your Jupiter is or where your Mars is, then you're going to go to the opposite. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. 180 degrees. So for example, you can tell me like in your chart, where, let's use your sun. Where is your sun located?
So my son is located in Cancer, ninth house.
Oh, I love cancers. My boyfriend's cancer, my daughter and my grandfather, they all have the same birthday, July 19th. So
Very
I have a
close. So we're
weird.
very close to that cusp, but yet I definitely am definitely cancer. There's no doubt. Yeah.
So, Cancer, your shadow is mastering Capricorn energy, which is about work, making your own business, becoming successful in the business field. So, a lot of Cancers, this is nothing new. Like the biggest Cancers that have succeeded with that are Elon Musk, Richard Branson. Like, you guys are so powerful. So, but you have to master that Capricorn shadow of entering into the corporate world, knowledge about business. I see you're laughing, so I think it's
It is funny
resonating.
because I was just accepted into a mentorship to bridge spirituality with the corporate work. I had to let It's just perfect timing that you said that. Yeah.
That's your deal. That's your shadow work. And once you can merge those two things together, you come into completion. That's right.
Instead of run and hide and say, no, I'm not corporate. No, it is so funny because, yes, I did. I just got accepted into it. So that's perfect. So in your book, you also then give the different aspects and the different shadows, so you can go look it up once you figure that
That's
out.
right.
Yeah.
I do think also, I mean, you can look up all of your personal locations, but I would encourage people to read some of the larger planets like Saturn and Uranus and Neptune I go through, which are, these are humanity-wide, right? And I wanted to try to present it so that each individual doesn't feel, you know, shamed or like chastised for having a shadow, because this is, like I try to get through in the book, all of nature has this energy in it. It's material existence. So we each have our own personal one, but then there's also the collective. Then there's also like the natural world that we live in, right? So there's several levels to this, really, because, you know, I'm sure you know working in the field of spirituality. You can do spirit work, but then you still have to deal with 3D reality, right? So I
Yes.
saw a lot of schisms. I engage a lot of spiritual workers and have so many friends. And another thing I saw, especially over COVID, was that people created a polarity between spiritual and mundane existence. And some people really struggled to bridge those two together in a way that was threatening to their survival. So,
Wow, that's really funny
you
that
know.
you said that because right before COVID, I had a near-death experience that brought
Wow.
this amazing message to me, and then the world shut down, and those became my thoughts. Those became nobody needs spirituality. They need to just get a job. And my work really suffered. I mean, of course, the studio that I was in, a yoga studio, closed down. I had to bring it home. Luckily, I survived.
Wow.
I'm here. But I did think that. I did create, there
Yep.
was that polarity. I never heard anybody say that. Wow, that's pretty fascinating. Yeah.
It was right when all this kind of like ascension and 5D awareness was raising to a pinnacle for sure, at least on social media, if not in reality. But right when that happened, everyone was driven back down into root chakra, into 3D. So it really created this polarization for spirit workers that I experienced with people. So I wanted to also try to help people merge those two worlds. Like we can have spiritual ascension, but we still have to chop wood and carry water every day. So
No, and I think
we
that's
gotta
so
do it.
important. Yeah, we have to be with the earth. And I know that has been my biggest lesson. It took me 3 years, if not more, but I would say a good 3 years to move through that, to understand where I was. And it was actually going into kind of the some of the Toltec teachings and getting back into the womb and going down to Teotihuacan. I mean, I was trying everything. I wish I would have known you then. I was trying everything to understand like what was happening to me. Right. And granted, I had just
Yes.
lost my second parent because I came here to help them, but all of this was
Oh,
using and I couldn't understand it. And I really
yeah.
couldn't, but it does now I understand. Now it makes a lot more sense. And now I see where I am in a different space too. So it was some of that darkness and that shadow work that really taught me these are where we learn our lessons. This is where our growth comes from.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And dealing with it. I had an Indigenous teacher as well. And I feel like the Indigenous are our bridge through this for sure, because they've really mastered the earth working with the spirituality more than anyone I've experienced. So my the person that taught me the most was Dr. Kelvin DeWolf, who was a Mi'kmaq Native American. And learning some of these indigenous traditions, I feel like we must reopen the dialogue there to mend and heal everyone that maybe has gotten too far into capitalism, too far into spirituality, too far into these kind of like almost mental realms too, or tech, where we have to reground. I feel like we have to re-engage and celebrate the indigenous traditions.
Oh, I so agree. Yeah, I channel some of that. I know I've had past life. I know my own family history, comes from Native Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, that whole area, Creek Indian. I know that as well. Yeah. And I do think it's important. I know that runs through me as well. And I know, like, I tend to medicine wheel. I'm on the earth and I tend it and I keep it up there and I just go and sit. And it's like, it's so powerful to help me. And I do think we need to have that kind of work going on
Well,
right
and
now.
you're a mom too, as I think you said. I have two children
Yeah.
also, so that you're forced to, I mean, hopefully to re-engage, to raise, and then you do the ancestor work as well, which it sounds like you did your workings there. And
Yeah.
we have, I think, as humans on the earth, that's such a key part of our existence to do those workings.
Yeah, I think it's really important. Yeah, my kids are now grown, and it is interesting to see that and doing that ancestor work. Now allows me to see the work I've done. It actually allows me to see it through their eyes and see the shifts and changes that they're going through, especially my daughter in the corporate world and what she stands for now and how we had to break down some of those things. So yeah, I think it's very fascinating. She loves astrology, by the way. Actually, my son has reached out too for astrology sessions. Yeah.
Oh,
So
fun. Oh, good.
yeah, no, my daughter actually eloped because she's ruled by Venus, and Venus was in retrograde when she wanted to get married. She's like, nope. And both of them were Libras. So it's like, nope, we're just going to elope, forget about it, which I think is funny, right?
That's a good plan. I like
Yeah.
it. Yes.
Yeah. And where they got married, they eloped off in Tofino off the coast of Canada. It was absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. Mother
Oh,
Earth is
nice.
their
That sounds
witness.
wonderful.
Yeah. So what led you to astrology? Like, what's your personal history? How did you even find it?
Oh, sure. I'm a lifer with all this. So I had a lot of near-death experiences when I was younger because I was sick a lot. I had terrible asthma and pneumonia. So I just kind of realized early on that the world was not what people were explaining it to be. And so I became a seeker very early on. And then my mother, thankfully, was very eclectic and had like traveled to Tibet and all over the world, and so had a lot of books and material. So I was early on seeking through spiritual material and came across astrology. I was around 10 years old and just started finding books at the library. I would go to the library, and back then we didn't have the internet. I know you are with me there, but I used interlibrary loan, and I found out that you could get any book from any library if you just use interlibrary loan. And so I would get the weirdest stuff about everything, and just was a nerd. So I read probably tens of thousands of books in my life. I'm like an avid reader, and I would just get all of the astrology books. So I started doing my chart for myself. And then around like 17 to 20s, I started doing my friends' charts and just, to expand. And I would look at celebrities' charts and stuff like that. And then eventually people started asking me to get charts that were strangers. So then I figured, well, I guess I should, do this as employment, 'cause, and people just remarkably would find what I said to be accurate, like crazy stuff. I don't know if you've had your chart in depth, but I mean, I could see like when somebody had knee surgery, or like, stuff that's, a lot of people think astrology is like a horoscope in the back of Cosmopolitan magazine. But if you've never had a chart done by someone that knows what they're doing, there's so much crazy stuff in there. I like to use it to navigate for a time, as well with like the transits. I find it very helpful. And then with the shadow work, in just looking at mine, and then What I've experienced from people is they'll look up their shadow in their chart, and a lot of times their partner or their children are born exactly at their shadow position. Because the universe is so funny, it wants us to face these shadows and work through them. So I found that a lot of times in our lives, we'll know individuals holding the shadow space. So I do feel like this shadow work is important, not just for us, but how we relate to each other. Because in relationships, usually people project the shadow onto other. This is what we call the enemy, right? So we
We
tend
do.
to we're gonna just shove all the darkness on the person we don't like so that they hold it, right? So this can be in friendships too or family. So we gotta take another look and see what belongs to us and what we're projecting. And I do feel like the astrology for the shadow work can be very helpful with the relationships as well.
Yeah, I think that's good. What a great point. Because, yeah, I work a lot of empaths and I teach them about how much they take in and how much of that projection isn't really theirs and how to be aware of it, right? So I do
That's
think it's
right.
important. And the tendency is to throw it somewhere else instead of take responsibility. But the beautiful part is, and I've always said this ever since working with the Debbie Ford work, and when we do shine light on it, when we do bring the awareness, that's where it's not so dark anymore.
It releases it. It's
Yeah.
wonderful. It's wonderful when just a little awareness of it can just, you could be struggling with something for years and bringing that up into that light of awareness, like you put so well, it kind of like pops the bubble and it doesn't have that power over you anymore.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of like when I was doing some of that Black Witch Mother, the Black Madonna work. It was like at one point I was like, okay, take a break. Let's just pause for a moment. And I was working with my teacher and like, okay, we just like, I got to catch up a little bit because sometimes it can be intense, but then I would go back to
Oh,
it because there was
yeah.
still more. And I do a lot of this work during the winter. That's when we really access the generational wisdom of our
That's
ancestors.
right.
Yeah. And so it was like at some point, it was like, okay. And I think my candle got like all the way down to about here that I'd brought back from Teotihuacan with me. But anyway, it is very powerful.
It's good to take breaks, yeah, and take little bits over time. I don't recommend people to just, try to think they can. It's not something that you're just gonna like solve or be done with. Like I said, the shadow work and the negative energy is a humanity-wide event. So we can do as much as we can, but then there's still other individuals that do no shadow work, and then we still got to deal with them in the grocery store or on the freeway or like in our government. So this is like a big job. So I don't want people to get overwhelmed by it either. So I'm really glad that you said that because I want people to understand this is just something you can raise your awareness to a bit at a time and kind of like work. It's a working that we do and kind of try to habituate into our
Yeah, I
life. Yeah.
definitely agree with that. Yeah. And, as you talk about the humanity right now, there is a lot of darkness going on. There is a lot of that shadow work. There's a lot of loneliness, isolation. And so when we can start to look at that again, it does help us understand and recognize we're not alone. We are all connected. And I think that's another thing people don't really want to take responsibility for each other, but we need it. We need it so much.
And sometimes it doesn't take much. I mean, sometimes it's a big job to help someone, but other times you could just be friendly and lift their spirits a little bit could go a long way. So
Yeah.
we'll get so defensive or resistant to taking on responsibilities of others, but sometimes people just need, a little bit, not as much. And the people that do need more, we need to encourage the government to have programs of assistance, to take care of everybody.
Yeah. It has to. I agree. Sometimes it's just compassion of the heart, just recognizing. Right. I mean, we don't have to get down a wallow with people, but you know what?
Yeah.
I was speaking with Peter Coyote a few weeks ago, and it's like, problem in the culture is our problem as well. We can't just push it aside. And so I think right
That's
now
right.
the eclipse helped us to really recognize that's what eclipses are about, because that comes in, we see that shadow and the light shines around it, right? And cuts us off however long it was for anybody who was in the totality of it. But then what? For people, I think I loved what you said because I agree. I tell my new mentoring
That's right.
students, have you had your astrology chart done? I go look and see what you are, and I help them find it. I have yet to learn how to do it. I haven't. And I even sometimes think I still can't read my circle there, right? I just
It's a lot
like
of data.
it
It's a lot
is.
of data.
It is a lot of data, but I love the sacred geometry of it, and I love knowing about it, and I love learning about it. Every year I try to learn something new. Recently it was learning about the nodes and learning about, different aspects of that, which I think is really important. So you don't have to be an expert in it, but I do think that it is a highly important thing for everybody to understand about themselves. And it will show you things like, how'd you read that in there? But I think it does.
That's right. I know. I just, the other day I was working a party and I saw this guy's chart and I was like, oh, you have lower back problems. Like, you got to take care of your back. And this was like, he was a square or whatever, no judgment, but he was, never learned anything about spirituality, was like worked hard. And he looked at me and saw where I saw it. And he was like, his mind was blown. He was like, I have a terrible bad back. Like, and I, it's a big problem. And he didn't understand how I saw that looking at the circle with a bunch of symbols in it. And he was, he couldn't, he had like a short circuit.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. It will. It
There's a
will show
lot of
you
data
so
in
many
there.
things. There is a lot of data in there for sure. Yeah. Now you talk about synchronicity. What is that about?
Synchronicity has a few levels. Certainly, it's a buzzword, so it's hard to say it and not have people have an idea of what it is. But Carl Jung obviously talked a lot about synchronicity, and he explained it as it's like an intersection or a strange attractor where everything kind of comes together in a moment that has been sort of collecting at a time. So it's like an aggregation point. I usually experience synchronicities in these kind of clusters where it'll seed and repeat over a while, and then there'll be like a mega one that just incorporates all of them, and you have a moment where all of these points come together at a single point. But synchronicity, to take it on another level, in my opinion, is about time space, which isn't linear in my experience. It's more like a sphere. So this will be maybe weird for people to hear because we're taught time space is linear, but it's more of this point on a circle where things can connect through that center, through that radius. So I view synchronicities as when you have maybe circled the sphere a few times and you come back to a location in time space that then triggers the synchronistic event, which could be personal or not personal to you. You could be experiencing a synchronicity that happens to everyone in that location as well. So I feel like it's a little broader than how Carl Jung described it. If you kind of look at time space in a sphere, I think it helps. But all divination systems work with synchronicity. So whether it's astrology, which of course looks at time space in a very physical way, right? Because we're talking about the locations of planets in space and time, or tarot, or I Ching, or cowrie shells, whichever divination system you're using is taking a moment in time and kind of trying to find the aggregators that are expressing in that moment.
I've never thought about it that way, but I understand what you're saying. And triggers too. Yeah, I'm an Akashic Record reader, so I can understand the whole idea about time not being,
Akashic records are outside of that dimension, right? Where it goes into that, you can see the totality, right?
And sometimes it does feel a little bit like, like time frames going this way or that way and how they link up. But time is, we kind of put the boundaries on it, don't we? How
We need more
fascinating.
understanding of time space, I feel like. Worth exploring.
It is worth exploring. And I think we will explore it more. I think all this, like using Zoom and recognizing how much more we can do in this medium, I think that's part of it. And I remember getting fascinated during COVID during the whole idea of telepathy. Like it was going to come further. We're going to use it more. We're going to open up more. And I still do. I still think it will happen. Technology is here to stay. So why can't we also do the same?
That's right. Yeah, getting rid of the spatial distance or time. Like we're you're in a different time zone than I am in a different space. So this is very like, right? This is amazing.
And so eventually we'll get rid of the structures there. I really think it will happen. I do. And more people that become aware of the possibility. I mean, I know I'm training more and more people in intuition and working with the aura field and, understanding how we can pick up energy. I think that's probably where it starts some ways. Yeah, for sure.
Yes, I agree. I think you're right.
We'll see. I may not see, but maybe my kids, maybe my grandkids, who knows,
Maybe you'll
right?
see it from afar, right?
Maybe I'll see it from afar from
That's right.
reincarnation, right? For sure. Actually, I probably will. Maybe just
Yes.
not in this body. Yeah, we'll reframe that for sure. Yeah. Well, how fascinating. And you've written so many other
I
books.
have, I think, seven. I don't know. I stopped paying attention, but yeah,
I think that's
I've
awesome. I've written one. So, yeah, that's awesome that you just keep going. What was your first book?
My first one was called The Secret Source, where I looked into, I feel like it was based on The Secret, but I was studying Hermeticism deeply at that time, and I did a bunch of research on the Kybalion. This was in like 2007 when I put the book out with my co-writer, and I wanted people to get out of just manifesting and attraction magic and understand the hermetic basis of what that means, that you can manifest things and try to take it past like manifesting stuff. I kind of, it was a rebellion against spiritual materialism, was kind of the basis for it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's more to abundance than money, right? Yeah.
That's right. It's
Yeah.
something in your heart that you have to open to. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and you see so many people on Instagram just talking money, and my clients did this, my clients did that. I'm like, well, just wait, hold on, hold on. Because you're not even seeing the other part of that either.
Many of the kind of prosperity consciousness, I mean, this is, I give a history of it in the book. So I go through following it from New Thought to prosperity gospel to all of these things and the impact it has. I feel like a lot of people I've seen in LA get ruined because if their manifesting or attraction fails, they feel like they take it personally and like they're a bad person. And I feel like it's kind of damaging for many people.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And sometimes when I go to teach Reiki, like I kind of like, kind of let's just talk Reiki because some people think, well, I didn't get the psychic hit or I didn't get to do it like, and I can't do it. It's like, no. Let's just start with one thing at a time and then the others will come. So I definitely agree with that.
They get so focused on the success or the payout, right? That masculine energy of get that they don't sit in stuff enough, I think. Yeah.
And even The Secret, I loved it too. It opened up the world, but hello, it didn't give you all the details. It didn't tell you about lower
The
vibrations. It
people who
didn't tell
made The Secret
you.
made a lot of money.
Yeah, they sure did. Yeah. And I still follow several of them, but still, yeah, there
Yeah.
was a lot left out. And I think that clarity has come forward too. Yeah, but I
Yes,
think
I
we
think
need
so.
all of this. Yeah, I'd be fascinated to look at that. And you've written a tarot deck, the White Witch
I
Tarot.
did. That one
Yes.
I spent 2 years on just meditating after reading tarot for years. I wanted to kind of get the archetypes into a single clarity. So I worked really hard on getting the image and like a little poem to try to be more meditative that people could use it for. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I wrote a deck during COVID.
Oh, what's your
More not
deck?
witchy though. It's called the Empowered Spirit Tarot.
Oh, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah, you found it on my website and some local places have it, but it was more about spirituality and working with the different techniques. And I took the elements because I work with fire, earth, and water. Meanwhile, your quote from Starhawk just opened the book. She was who I learned elements from. She was who I designed my jewelry line around. Like, oh
Oh.
my God, I never the fire, the air. What are we talking about? How we need it. So I appreciate that opening quote that you had in there
Oh, I
too.
love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I learned a lot and I include family generational energy instead of the count card. So I switched it around, changed it up. And one of my students was the artist. I wasn't even the artist, but it was a project. We said, let's just do it during COVID. What
Oh, I
else?
love
And it
it.
just kept taking on its own life. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I love reading the tarot. I think we can learn a lot for
It's a
sure, just
very
like our charts
powerful
too.
tool. Yeah, it's very, I love your idea for your deck too, and trying non-traditional oracle decks. I feel like have had this resurgence as everyone went
Yeah.
through COVID as well, to help people use the tarot in broader ways than maybe they had before.
Yeah, and I did with that idea too. Like, let's dispel some of the myths, right? Like, you can get your own tarot deck. It's okay to go buy your own,
That's
right?
right.
Yeah, and
That's
it's
right.
okay to have somebody touch it. Yeah, so we did talk about that too. But for me, it's been a powerful tool. And I did learn more too, just doing my own and just like, what am I trying to do with this too? So it is a very powerful teacher. And it does help our intuition, which is one of the things I think we go to the tarot for
That's
to
right.
look at different signs and colors and symbols and look at it from instead of just the intellect, let's get into that creative faculty for sure.
Yeah, going into
Yeah.
that space, making a new space to enter. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. So, what is your mission with this book?
I would say my mission with this book is to assist people to see through their biases or their repressions or their projections to get closer to truth, to being able to discern and to become whole. That's my main mission, is to use it as a tool so that we can kind of see through our projections and biases to get a better understanding of truth and reality.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I think kind of like I mentioned, when I only saw like the good stuff, and then I'm thinking, well, that's not what I'm feeling. What's wrong with me? Like, this isn't right, you know? But we need both
You have to
sides. We really
reconcile it.
do.
Yeah, you have to reconcile it. And
Reconcile
certainly,
it.
I
Good
don't want
word.
people to think that the world is a negative or bad place. It's both, like you said, right? We're going to
It
have
is both. Yeah.
terrible things. We're going to have wonderful things. And you're not going to have just one or the other forever. So we have to learn how to kind of cycle through them.
Yeah, I totally agree. I do. Well, wow, what a fascinating conversation. Your book is just amazing. It sheds light on just a whole different way of looking at our charts, which we need right now. I think it can answer more questions than not. I really do. Yeah,
Oh, I'm so
definitely.
glad.
Yeah, where would you like me to send people to find your work, the book? And do you teach? Tell us more about what you do.
Well, I taught for a long time. I gave free public lectures for like over a decade, both at the Philosophical Research Society and then also at the Annie Besant Lodge in LA. Some of those are recorded and on my website, which is witchofthedawn.com. And I try to share a bunch of stuff, but on there I usually share a lot of my writings. I did so much community work that now I'm more focused on writing and trying to give people tools, especially because I know, a lot of people can't make it. So trying to just help people there. And I worked for I think a little over a decade trying to help my teacher, Dr. Kelvin DeWolf, spread Indigenous teachings there from the Mi'kmaqs, which a lot of people have forgotten about, helped form America. That was the French Indian War, was why we even have our country. And I feel like they've been left out of history. So I tried to, reconnect that. Right? Did you know that the Mi'kmaqs fought?
No.
They defeated the English. We would not be here if it wasn't for the Mi'kmaqs. We had an alliance with them early on, and then we just betrayed every treaty, like in Frozen 2. I don't know if you saw that movie, but it was very real life. I currently do like stuff about town and will give lectures sometimes and just write books, but I'm available for private sessions, and then people can send me an email if they want to know more.
Excellent. Yeah. And then give a shout out to Inner Traditions for the publishing of your book. You can find it there. And locally, I know here locally in Birmingham, Ritual Shelter, it will be available as well as your cards too. Yeah, that's just awesome. Definitely. And you do chart
I
readings?
do chart readings. I do tarot and the I Ching. One of my other books was on the I Ching, which I spend a lot of time with, and it's a powerful, powerful tool. I have two. I've done astrology, I Ching, and tarot in books so far, so covering all the divination ground. Yes.
Yeah, I Ching brings me back to high school. I think I did my coins every day back in
Oh,
high school. Yeah, I
cool.
used to chart them every day. Yeah, it's been a while though. And I know now, like Human Design now
Yes,
has
very
a little bit of
popular.
that coming in.
Yes.
Yeah, very popular. So as we come back around to close the show, I kind of talked about it, but just to leave our listeners with an uplifting thought, how do you feel that working with the shadow self and the astrology can help to empower the spirit right now?
I feel like everyone can be empowered by doing shadow work to know that even the worst parts of yourself are not that bad. And we as human beings are beautiful, wonderful creatures, good and bad together. It doesn't negate who you are as a person because you did something you think is naughty, right? You're still good. We're still
I so
okay.
agree. We're still okay. It's not that bad.
That's
I
right.
agree.
There's
Yeah.
redemption. I do shadow work to show
Redemption.
redemption.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. Don't throw it away. It's still good.
Right? Don't throw it out. Yes, it is still good. And I think really the vulnerability too that brings forward. I know when I share my vulnerability, I share my story, allow somebody else to do the same. Right, we can't just look like we're perfect because we're not. I'm not. I tell my students, if you want a perfect spiritual teacher, go somewhere else. That is not me.
And that's okay. We're like each other, you know? It's okay. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
We can help each
Right?
other.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. What a great conversation. Best of luck with your book.
Thank you so much, Terry. So nice to speak with you.
You too. To your spirit. Namaste. Yes, it's so important to get a complete picture. We don't have to judge the dark sides as bad. As you shine light on the darkness, it goes away. Lessons can be learned, and ultimately, new growth comes in. Be sure to check out Maja's work. Get a chart reading. All the links will be in the show notes. We are in an important time in humanity that is teaching us so much. Do not be afraid of opening up your consciousness. Do not be afraid of the shadows. There is much to learn. And as Maja said, the shadows are not that bad, and you are still good. Thanks again for listening. This is your host, Tari Ann Hyman. To your spirit, namaste. In the local area of Birmingham, join Ritual and Shelter for their Scorpio Full Moon Scrying Workshop. Gather together and learn about the art of scrying, experience the work through trance, and practice with black mirrors, crystal balls, water, and flame. Tuesday, April 23rd from 7 to 8 p.m. Central Time. The link to register will be in the show notes.